Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette tape series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry will share dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. This month's tape is presented by one of our most requested speakers, Jim Olstinski. As you all know by now, Jim is editor both of the nationally acclaimed PHC Profit Report newsletter and Plumbing and Mechanical magazine. More than being an editor, however, Jim is a friend to the trades contractor. Jim serves the industry in three ways. First, through his publications. He is a clearinghouse for what's going on in the industry. Secondly, Jim is a bit of a prophet. He draws on his vast knowledge of what the industry is about and then is able to help clarify what direction the industry is taking. Finally, Jim is a book with new chapters being written each day. Through his writings, relationships, and industry involvement, he has acquired a vast library of what works and what doesn't from contractors. In the past, Jim has done tapes entitled Words That Sell, Yellow Pages, and Marketing Tips to Knock Your Customer's Socks Off. This month, he has drawn some additional knowledge from his library on customer complaints. Today, Jim will share with us about the valuable 4% of unsatisfied customers who take time to contact your company. Today, you will learn how to make lemonade out of lemons.
Customers who complain are the best friends any business can have. Repeat, the customers who complain are your best friends. Treasure the complainers. I'm sure this runs counter to what most of you feel about disgruntled customers. If you're like most business owners, dealing with complaints ranks right up there with a visit to the dentist. But there are some profound business truths that you ought to be aware of about customers with a complaint. One of the most exhaustive studies ever undertaken of consumer behavior was by a company called Technical Assistance Research Programs of Arlington, Virginia, TARP for short. The TARP studies found that only about 1 out of 25 people with a complaint about a business ever bother telling anyone in that business that something went wrong. 96% of the time, people with a complaint will suffer in silence. But they will do something about it. TARP found that of those customers with a grievance who fail to complain about it, 63% will switch companies without ever telling anyone in the offending business why. 63%, almost 2 out of 3. They won't complain, they'll just start patronizing someone else. Stop and think about this. Sooner or later, every employee is bound to screw up in a way that annoys the customer. You know that. Nobody's perfect. Don't you think it would be good to know when that happens? But, according to the TARP studies, on average, 96 out of every 100 people who do have a complaint against your company will never tell you about it. And about 60 of those 96 people will take their business to someone else. And there's not a darn thing you can do about it if you don't know what's going on. That's why I say those other 4% are your best friends. People who let you know something is wrong are your best friends because they inform you that something is wrong, and that gives you a chance to correct the problem. But you can't very well fix a problem that you're never made aware of. Now I'd like to share with you another profound truth from the TARP researchers. They found that of the customers who do take time to complain and receive a satisfactory response, 70% of them become the firm's most loyal customers. Ever notice how reformed sinners become some of the most avid churchgoers? Same principle here. If a customer complains and you bend over backward to resolve that complaint, that customer will be impressed. He or she is likely to become one of your biggest boosters. And you need some big boosters. That's because of yet another finding by the TARP researchers. They found that if you excel at customer service, each satisfied customer will tell, on average, 3 other people how much they like you. That's the good news. The terrible news is that if they are dissatisfied with your performance, they will tell on average 15 other people about it. This means bad news travels 5 times farther than good news. This means that for every dissatisfied customer, you need to come up with five others who love you in order to cancel out the negative effects of the one who badmouths you to everyone in sight. Do you understand the implications of what I'm saying? Number one, it means that you need to find ways to encourage customers to speak up when they have a complaint. Number two, you need to do everything in your power as a small business owner or employee to resolve those complaints so that the customer becomes a big fan of your business. It's called making lemonade out of lemons. Let's address the first issue. How can you encourage customers to speak up when they have a complaint? One of the best things a service contractor can do in this regard is to make himself accessible to complainers. I firmly believe that the owner himself ought to be the one handling most customer complaints. Put your direct phone number in customer literature and invite everyone to call you, the owner, with any problem they may have. This is not a task to be delegated. I know a lot of you are thinking, I don't have time for such nonsense. You're too busy doing all the other important things a business owner must do. At some point, you may be right. It depends on the size of your business. If you get to the point where you find yourself dealing with customer complaints all day long, you'll have no time for anything else. But consider two key points. First, if you have so many complainers that you can't handle them all, what's that say about your business? I think it would keep your people on their toes if they knew that every customer complaint was going directly to the top. Second, based on what I've discussed so far about the importance of complaining customers, I would argue that you have few other duties more important than dealing with complainers. Make it a priority. Delegate something else to free up time. Besides trying to win them over, personally dealing with customer complaints is a good way to keep your finger on the pulse of your service operations. You'll find out pretty quickly which service technicians habitually ruffle feathers and whether or not your dispatchers or customer service reps are doing their jobs effectively. Another good technique for fleshing out problems is to establish a policy of calling every single customer within a day or two following a service call to ask how your people performed. Many progressive service companies do this. It is the only way to monitor performance in a thorough manner. Most contractors try to take a shortcut by relying on customer comment cards left behind on service calls. This is a good thing to do from a psychological standpoint because it shows concern. But don't rely on those cards to tell you anything useful. Response rates tend to be low, and you can be lulled into complacency because almost everyone who does this experiences positive feedback from 80 to 90% of respondents. Most people who are upset won't take time to vent their feelings in a response card. Again, they'll just stop doing business with you and you'll never know why, but they'll tell all their friends and neighbors why. Ideally, you want to nip complaints in the bud, not hear about them after the fact. This requires a considerable amount of training for everyone in the company who has customer contact. And for the small service contractor, this pretty much means everyone. Customer relations training is an absolute must for your phone receptionist, your dispatchers, your customer service reps, and certainly your service technicians. Good training will help minimize complaints in the first place and then help resolve them before they get too big. With a good system in place, a service company owner can invite people to call him directly with complaints without worrying about being flooded with calls from disgruntled customers. Let's review some techniques for turning those lemons into lemonade. First, let's address perhaps the most common and difficult problem that most of you deal with, the price complaint. You do a job, the customer pays, and a little while later runs into someone who tells the customer that the job should have cost a fraction of what they paid. Sound familiar? Most contractors end up getting into arguments with customers in these situations. Often they try to force-feed the customer details about their costs of doing business, but customers don't have the time or patience to tolerate a long lecture on the problems you have in running a business. All they care about is that your price is much higher than they expected to pay, and you must deal with that issue on that basis. You can never win an argument with a customer. No matter how good you might feel after telling that person off, the object is not to score debating points, but to retain that customer's business and to have that customer speak well of you to other people. How can you do that when you get into a spitting match with the customer? Let the customer vent his feelings while you stay calm. When you do speak up, calmly and politely establish the value of your services by getting the customer to agree on certain things. For instance, have them acknowledge that the job was done well, that the service was prompt, that everyone they dealt with was polite, that your service technician cleaned up, and so on. I'm assuming, of course, that all this is the case. For now, we're just dealing with the price issue. Often, this will not be enough to mollify the customer. If nothing you say will calm down that customer, I'd like to suggest a bold initiative. Let the customer name his or her own price. It goes something like this. Mrs. Smith, it's obvious that we have failed to demonstrate the value that we believe we offer, but we hate to see you upset and would like another chance. So to demonstrate our good faith, I'd like you to tell me what you think that job was worth. Whatever you say, that's what you will pay. I've known quite a few service contractors who have used this gambit with good success. How can they afford it? A couple of reasons. First, it is one of the bright spots of human nature that most people really do have a sense of fairness. The fact that you are willing to let them name their price usually leads them to name a price not too far below the one you charged. With you being so nice, they would feel guilty trying to get off too cheaply. This tactic takes nerve, but it's well worth it to salvage a customer and that customer's goodwill. Second, these situations don't arise very often. You simply charge off the amount you give back, just as you would a bad debt. Service contractors who adhere to this policy usually report givebacks in the range of 2-3% of sales, which you build into your overhead. It is not an onerous financial burden. And remember what I reported earlier about disgruntled customers telling on average 15 other people about their bad experience. From that perspective, giving back a few dollars is a real bargain. There's a firm in the quarry business in California called Granite Rock Company that won a 1992 Malcolm Baldrige National Quality Award. One of that company's bold management innovations is a policy they call the Granite Rock Short Pay Method. The back of all company invoices contains the following message. If you're not satisfied with the Granite Rock services you just received, then don't pay us for it. Period. They don't require customers to justify not paying them. They just invite customers to subtract from their bills whatever amount they deem fit for deficient service. That's courageous. You would think Granite Rock would go broke, but they don't. They give great service, and they respond with lavish attention to the rare customer complaint that results in a short payment. Again, most people are basically fair-minded. I've heard of a few restaurants that operate without menu prices. Instead, they invite customers to pay whatever they think the meal was worth. Most people respond by paying more than they'd pony up for a comparable meal in another restaurant that spells out the prices. It takes a lot of nerve to try these techniques, but don't you think they are preferable to arguing with the customer or boring them with a seminar on the economics of your business? Always keep in mind the WIFM factor, what's in it for me. Customers do not give a darn about your cost structure or any other excuse you may have for charging what you do, no more than you are concerned about the customer's personal finances. The way to make a lemon of a customer into tasty lemonade is to find a way to appeal to his WIFM instinct. Letting him name his own price certainly accomplishes that. The customer give back is an extreme tactic, of course. Most day-to-day complaints do not require such dramatic gestures, and not all complaints revolve around price. So let's examine a few useful techniques for dealing with a variety of common complaints you all run into. Keep in mind that part of your customer relations training should involve going over the common complaints and how to respond to them. Both field and office personnel ought to be drilled with scripted responses to the common complaints so that when they do arise, they can respond casually and immediately to the complaint. Here are some common complaints that I'm sure all of you hear with frequency, along with some scripted comebacks. Customer, why does it cost so much? It took less than an hour to fix and you've only replaced a couple of tiny parts. Your response. Have you ever seen what a doctor charges just for prescribing a couple of aspirins? Just like that doctor, I am a specialist who has undergone years of training to be able to diagnose your problem. You are paying not only for the work that was done, but for the knowledge that enables me to find out what was wrong. As for those tiny parts, well, diamonds are tiny too, but size does not relate to value. Customer: the office said you would be here an hour ago. Why are you so late? Response: I appreciate your concern and I'm sorry I'm late. We ran into some unexpected complications on the last job, and just as I would not leave your problem unresolved, I couldn't leave the previous customer in a bind. If you'll show me where the problem is, I'll get started without further delay. Customer: I paid your company hundreds of dollars to fix this just last year. How many times do I have to keep paying for repairs? Response: Let's hope this is the last time. Let me take a look at it to get a better understanding of what the real problem is. Maybe I'll be able to suggest some options to keep it from happening again. Customer: How come it's taking you so long? I think you're just trying to keep the meter running. Response: I'm doing the best I can. It would cost you even more if I overlooked something that led to another breakdown a few months down the road. It should be noted that this last complaint is pretty much eliminated when service companies adopt the flat rate pricing strategy that is becoming increasingly popular. A good thing to do would be to accumulate a list of customer complaints over a month's time and distribute them to all employees. Then invite the employees to submit what they think should be done to prevent the problems from occurring again, along with the best way to resolve the problems. Also invite employees to help develop suitable scripts to deal with customer complaints. As people gain experience and become comfortable dealing with customers, they can depart from the standard scripts they learned in training and start putting things in their own words. The important thing is, though, that you must keep your cool at all times, even if the customers start to lose theirs. When dealing with angry customers in the field, there are several things a service technician can do to help calm the customer down. First, service personnel should always attempt to deal with the angry customer at the site of the problem. They should say, "Let's go see what's wrong," and try to get the customer to take them to the malfunctioning equipment. This gives a psychological advantage to the service technician. They are on their own turf, dealing with equipment they are familiar with and comfortable talking about. Most service technicians feel more comfortable in a kitchen, bathroom, basement, or utility room than they would dealing with an irate customer in the living room or dining room. Plus, they can deflect some of the anger by pointing out features about the malfunctioning equipment. Another good technique for dealing with angry customers is to take notes. Every service technician ought to carry around a clipboard and some paper to write on. This accomplishes several things. First, it provides an opportunity to accurately document what the customer is saying. Don't rely on memory, jot it down. Second, taking notes demonstrates to customers that you are serious about trying to help them solve their problem. It makes you look interested and professional. Third, taking notes is a great way to occupy yourself while the customer vents some anger. It makes it a little less tempting to respond defensively and get into an argument with the customer. Fourth, while taking notes, it gives you time to think about what you will say once the customer calms down. Instead of reacting spontaneously, perhaps saying something you shouldn't, you get a chance to collect your thoughts. If you remember nothing else in this tape about handling problem customers, remember what I'm saying about taking notes. It is probably the single most effective tactic for dealing with angry customers, and it's something that should be done by everyone who has face-to-face customer contact. One more technique will give you a little bit of a psychological edge. Force yourself to speak slowly and softly when dealing with an angry customer. "Ma'am, I hear what you say. I promise you that I will do my very best to resolve this problem as quickly and inexpensively as I can." Your slow rate of speech will in many cases calm them down because it represents a stark contrast with their agitated behavior and will make them feel a bit foolish. Same with speaking softly. It forces the customer to concentrate on listening to you and deflects attention from their own anger. And again, the contrast with their own loudness might prove a bit embarrassing. Everything discussed so far concerns some general rules that apply in virtually all situations. However, people are complex. They have different personalities, and different personalities all need to be handled just a little bit differently. Let's see if we can get a handle on some of the basic types of people you deal with. One category is the aggressive person, the kind who are quick to lose their temper and point accusing fingers at others. The techniques we just discussed about going to the site of the problem, taking notes, and speaking softly are especially important in dealing with aggressive types. You need to give them time to calm down. In dealing with aggressive customers, always try to direct the focus on the problem, not their anger. Your message is, "I'm sorry you have a problem. I'm glad you called us to take care of it. We'll do everything we can to make things right." Listen to what they have to say, but don't react too quickly to their demands for immediate satisfaction. Like when they say, "I want this system operating in an hour, or I'll call someone else to do the job." Acknowledge the person's feelings and statements, but don't promise that you'll have it up and running within an hour. Give a response like, "All I can promise is that I'll do my best." Once aggressive people calm down, they often respond well to specific attention getters. Things like surprises, benefits they weren't aware of, new information. Weird as it might sound, super aggressive people are some of the likeliest prospects for upselling and add-ons. If you can get them to calm down and listen to a benefits-oriented sales presentation, you can easily turn lemons into lemonade. I've heard many tales from service personnel who went in on a problem call, even a callback in some cases, and ended up selling the customer hundreds or even thousands of dollars of extra products and services. I suspect in most cases they were dealing with aggressive personalities. Think of it like the martial art of judo, in which an opponent's aggressive tendencies can work to your advantage. Another difficult personality to deal with is the negative person. Those are the ones who whine about everything and always look for the dark cloud behind every silver lining. They mistrust you the minute you walk in the door. They expect you to overcharge them and underperform. The equipment has never worked to their satisfaction, and everyone who has ever worked on it has been an idiot who didn't know what he was doing. I'm sure you've all met this type before. It's okay to calmly disagree with this kind of person. If he or she says this is a lousy piece of equipment that hasn't worked right since day one, you can say something like, "Actually, I found this to be one of the better brands I work on. It's possible there might be something wrong with another part of the system." But be careful not to let such contrary statements degenerate into an argument. In making such comments, try hard to accentuate the positive. Use phrases like, "A good way to avoid this problem would be to," "I think it would be helpful to do this, that, or the other thing." "It will cost less money and save you grief if you..." Get the picture? When dealing with negative people, combat their negativity with positive remarks of your own. Overlook their negative comments. When they say something negative, let it slide by without comment. Continue talking in an upbeat way as if the negative comment was never made. Negative people look for acknowledgement that everything is wrong. Failing to acknowledge it will discourage their negative attitude. Another good technique for dealing with them is to nudge them into positive statements. "Is there anything about this equipment that you like?" you might say, or, "Was there ever a time when it was working right?" This will get them off the track of what doesn't work and turn their attention to what does, or at least what has in the past. Another particularly difficult person to deal with is the self-styled expert. Many are household handymen who tackle a lot of do-it-yourself projects around the house, so naturally they know everything there is to know about your line of work. You're probably tempted to ask them why they bothered calling you if they know so much about fixing things, but nothing is ever gained by being a smart aleck. Remember, the customer is always right. The best way to handle the, quote, expert is to be generous in acknowledging their expertise, modest though it may be. Compliment them for asking intelligent questions. Tell them how much more they know than most other customers you deal with. Even ask their suggestions for how to deal with the problem they called you in to handle. When dealing with the, quote, expert, use data and facts more than you would with other personality types. If you think the problem is X and they insist it's Y, the best way to persuade them to your point of view is to go into the details of why your diagnosis of the problem is better than theirs, although you'd never come right out and say that. Logical evidence, when presented clearly and calmly, is often the most persuasive way to deal with the self-styled expert. Also, try to phrase disagreements in the form of questions rather than challenges. For instance, don't say, but your diagnosis doesn't square with the amperage draw of this unit. Instead, say, but what do you make of that amperage draw? These are subtle distinctions, but asking questions allows them to save face and be more open to your ideas. Experts are some of the trickiest personalities to deal with. Perhaps the hardest type of customer to deal with is the unresponsive person, meaning the silent types who are hard to draw information out of. Questions about the malfunction get answered with a lot of I don't knows and I never noticed. With these kinds of people, you need to ask a lot of open-ended questions. That is, questions that cannot be answered with a simple yes, no, or I don't know. Open-ended questions usually begin with the words how, why, or what. Examples: how long did it take you to notice the problem? Why did you wait until it broke down completely before you called? What is the reason that finally compelled you to call us? No matter what kind of personality type you are dealing with, never make promises you might not be able to keep. If you don't have the ability or the authority to solve the problem, tell your customer that you will get that information promptly. Then call whoever you need to call to get the facts and a solution. Then make sure that someone follows up with the disgruntled customer when that information does become available. Earlier, I mentioned that it would be a good idea to follow up every service call with a phone call aimed at soliciting customer feedback on your operations. When you find people dissatisfied with your service, you want to be sure to try to resolve the problem and then follow up with another phone call, checking to see if it has been resolved. Here are some good questions to ask. How upset were you about the original mistake? How did you feel about the way the mistake was handled? How easy was it to get in touch with someone who could respond appropriately to your problem? One of the things you want to identify is whether the customer service mistake resulted from special circumstances unlikely to arise again, or whether it could have been avoided with some changes in your operating procedures. You also want to remind the customer that you are doing everything you can to resolve their complaint. Remember, be glad customers are complaining to you. They give you the means to solve internal problems. Something else needs to be said about dealing with problem customers. Anyone in a service business must come to grips with the fact that a small percentage of the general public consists of miserable people who are never satisfied. Back in the early 1970s, I helped put myself through college by driving a taxi cab in my hometown of Chicago. It was an interesting job in many ways, and I learned a lot about dealing with the public. I met my share of customers who would complain about anything and everything. The veteran cabbies had a term for them. They called them the two percenters. They calculated that about 2% of the population consisted of people who were just plain jerks, and nothing could be done about them except to shrug your shoulders and go about your business. My experience as a taxi driver, as well as being close to service contractors, tells me that they were pretty much on the mark with that percentage. Everyone in a service business needs to realize that about 2% of the people you will deal with day in and day out are bound to be jerks. If you find the percentage to be substantially higher than 2%, it might be time for some soul searching on your part. It's a sign that something might be wrong with your customer service behavior. You need to ask yourself what you are doing wrong to make so many people mad at you. But if you find about 2% of your customers behaving in an unreasonable manner, accept it and move on. Is there anything you can do to avoid even the 2%? Here are a few signs to look for ahead of time that might help you to identify potential problem customers. 1. People who are overly concerned about price. How much is this? How much is that? Can I get a break if I do this or that? Watch out for people who will pick your prices to death and shop it around. Stick to your price, even if it means losing this type of customer. Working for somebody like that usually means one aggravation after another. Watch out for people who complain too much about other service companies. These are the people who say things like, "Every company like yours I've ever dealt with has been a dud." Such customers may have unreasonable expectations, or maybe they're just the type who likes to beat up on the hired help. 3. People who fail to keep appointments. Your service person shows up at the home within a reasonable time, only to find out the person isn't there, or worse, finds a competitor's service truck in the driveway. This demonstrates a lack of consideration and someone who doesn't respect your time. Consider yourself lucky when such a person decides to deal with a competitor. 4. People who don't know what they want. They call you about a new heating system or a bathroom remodel, but don't have the slightest idea of what they're looking for, except they don't want to spend very much to get it. Don't completely write these people off. Some could end up as prime candidates for profitable jobs. Be careful, though. Whatever you do may not be enough to satisfy them. Number 5. People who demand immediate service. It's not an emergency, but they treat it like one. Their time is so precious, they can't be troubled wasting it on you, so if you want the job, you better get there right now and finish it in record time. Number 6. People who owe you money. They haven't paid you in full for a previous job, but promise to square everything away after you finish the next one. Ever meet anyone like this? They are experts at getting something for nothing. Walking away from business is one of the hardest things to do in business. It goes against every marketing instinct, but often it is a sign of wisdom that will prevent problems before they start. Remember, though, we're talking about the 2 percenters here, and I don't want to dwell on them too much. You're making a big mistake if you look at all complaints as illegitimate. The vast majority of people with a complaint have legitimate reasons to be dissatisfied, and it is in your interest to salvage them as customers and make them your biggest fans. Ellen Levy is a friend of mine who runs a long-established family oil company on Long Island that also provides plumbing and heating services. Several years ago, he wrote an article for my newsletter, PHC Profit Report, that is worth repeating here. The article was titled, "Check Your Attitude at the Door," and here's what Ellen had to say. It's sometimes tough to keep a positive attitude when you're working out there in the real world, but unless you have the right attitude, you're going to have a tough time solving problems. For example, I have this nasty witch of a customer. I'm sure you know the type. She only calls on the coldest day of the year and then usually to complain about something that could be handled any time. Last December, she called me to complain about a radiator I had installed 3 years ago. "It's noisy," she shrieked into the phone. "Get over here right away." I dreaded going over there. I knew I'd have to put up with another dose of abuse from this miserable character. You have to know this shriveled old hag to understand why I felt this way. This woman could make a train take a dirt road. And the worst part was, I could never find the problem when I got there. How come? Well, I hate to admit it, but it's because I simply had the wrong attitude. You see, I'd already made up my mind that this old bag was just a chronic complainer. After all, if there was really something wrong with her system, I would have found the solution a long time ago. But now I realized the problem was with me. I was never going to find the answer to her lousy radiator because my attitude was lousy. I'd made up my mind before I even got to the house that nothing was wrong, said Levy. Why did I feel this way, he continued. Well, it all began when I gave her the price on the radiator. From day one, she was miserable to deal with. We had an appointment, and she stood me up without bothering to call. She told me her time was more valuable than mine. When we finally got together, she chiseled me on the price. Then, as I was doing the job, she stood over my shoulder and nagged me. She told me I was doing it all wrong. Finally, when I figured things couldn't get any worse, she deducted $150 from my bill. She claimed I had soiled her carpet, and she had to have it cleaned. This news dropped my jaw right onto my chest. Her threadbare floor had been gathering dust since Woodrow Wilson was in the White House. It looked like a bad toupee. You could have mistaken it for a drop cloth, wrote Levy. But what could I do? I was happy to get out of there in one piece. I tried to remember what my dad, Irving, always tells me. Son, he says, it could be worse. You could be married to her. I suppose there's some comfort in that thought. But here's the payoff. There really was a problem with that radiator, and another guy walked in and found the answer in about 5 minutes. Was he really a better mechanic than me? Maybe, but I think what really made the difference here was that he didn't carry so much baggage. He didn't have my lousy attitude. I've come to believe that attitude is everything when you're troubleshooting. Ellen Levy is right. Attitude is everything in the service business. And the attitude you take toward complaining customers goes a long way towards running a successful service company. Complainers are your best friends. Cherish them. Bend over backwards to resolve their problems, and you will find them to be your biggest boosters. Learn to make lemonade out of lemons.
As usual, we hope this edition of the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month has given you many new ideas to help you run your company more effectively. Also, don't forget to phone, fax, or call in your order for the Service Sense Tape Series for Technicians. Order today and get a free tape album. Where else can you train your technicians in customer service for only $99.95 a year? The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.